Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. We're coming to you once again from here in the historic Clay County Courthouse right here on the square. And I believe the GPS address of this place is 100 Courthouse Square, Salina, Tennessee, if you ever want to look it up on your GPS and try to find this place. But we're here every Thursday morning at 9 o'clock with the Clay County Corner. And, of course, we come to you through the efforts of all of our sponsors here in and around Salina and Clay County that make this possible each Thursday morning here at 9 o'clock on WVFB-FM 101.5, Kicks Country. Got a great show lined up this morning. We've got some, got a couple of folks here with us this morning. We've got the county mayor, Mr. Dale Reagan, here with us, and also the high sheriff of Clay County, Mr. Brandon Boone, is here. And we've got some important things we're going to talk about, and we've got some other things here. I want to get this out of the way before we get real deep into the show. I want to remind everyone that we've got our Cumberland Run Car Show coming up on Saturday, May the 6th, beginning at 3 p.m. Right here on the square. And we, of course, want to invite everyone out for that, both spectators and also, of course, folks with classic cars or motorcycles, just any powered vehicle you want to bring by, we'll welcome you here. And we, every year, we give away T-shirts to the first 100 folks that sign up and register in a car. We've got those ordered. And if you want to look on Facebook at Cumberland Run Facebook site, we've got some pictures of them up there and some flyers up. And like I said, that's coming up on Saturday, May the 6th. And I also want to remind everyone again, and I think these folks are going to come back and join us again for a little bit and give us a little more information on our archery meets that are going on the week, that same weekend, on Saturday, May the 6th, and Sunday, May the 7th. I think on Saturday, May the 6th, we have a juvenile state championship in 3D archery contest up at Donaldson Park. And then on Sunday, on May the 7th, we've got a state ASA qualifier that will qualify the winners there to move on to the state tournament in that. And I believe we had the folks up here the other day. They talked like they have maybe around 400 or so people already entered and signed up for this thing. So it looked like we're going to have a big crowd in here for that, and also hopefully a big crowd for a car show. And then let's see. I know we've had a little flyer here on the Together We Ride, the run walk on the 6th with the that's going to take place. We'll get those folks on here a little bit later. I think Clay County Hospital and Clay County Diabetes Association, they're all involved in this. And then also got some good news this week that we have a couple of ladies here in Clay County, Salina, that have been kind of quietly working on a farmer's market for here in Clay County. And there will be a little, I think maybe a notice in the paper sometime the next week or so, and that Tanya Spears and Wanda Mettis. And we're getting to the point where we're going to work out a schedule for this summer, and got to get the news out to the farmers now if you want to participate in this. They're looking at maybe doing it here around the courthouse square on a Saturday, and got to work all that kind of stuff out. But we need to tell the farmers, if you're interested in participating in a farmer's market, you need to get your seeds in the ground here right now and be ready for that. And hopefully, if everything goes well with this, it will become a permanent thing. And we do know that just about all of our communities around have a farmer's market. And these two ladies have been quietly working on this and look like it's coming to fruition. So be thinking about that. And let's see, we've also got a notice this weekend that the annual rabies clinic, which is very important, and this will be taking place this weekend at both Salina and Hermitage Springs. And you need to bring in your pets and get them vaccinated. And they will be held at Clay County High School from 1 to 2 p.m. and at Hermitage Springs Citizens Bank from 2:30 to 3:30. And this is from the Clay County Health Department. If you need any more information on that, and this is this Saturday, April the 15th, call 243-2561. Well, Mayor and Sheriff, I guess we better take a little short break. Let me catch my breath here for a minute, and we'll be back in just a minute. And get into today's subject. But right now, let's take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a few minutes.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to senior care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
Hi, I found a toy dinosaur over on the playground by Smith Street. It had this phone number on it, and, well, I just wanted to make sure the dinosaur made it back to its little owner.
When I found the little sippy cup, I just had to give you a call. It's for a kid, you know?
I know my son gets super attached to the smallest things, even a fire truck, and I'd be happy to drop it off.
We'd do anything for kids, yet 1 in 6 children in the U.S. struggle with hunger. Help end childhood hunger near you. Learn how at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, Clay County, Dairy Queen in Salina and Kix Country want to give away a free ice cream cake. That's right. You can win a delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina for a friend or a loved one having a birthday or anniversary. And all you have to do is 243-5574. Call 243-5574, speak clearly, leave the name of the person having a birthday or anniversary, and the date of the birthday or anniversary. Please leave your name and number so we can call you back if we have any trouble understanding your message. Then, every Thursday between 9 and 10 a.m. on the Clay County Corner, we'll read all of the birthdays and anniversaries collected that week. We will then, at random, pull out the name that will receive that delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina. That number again is 243-5574. Write it down. 243-5574 to win an ice cream cake from Kix Country and Dairy Queen in Salina.
Yeah. Welcome back, everyone. We're, of course, very grateful, happy, glad, on a bright, sunshiny morning here in Salina to be sitting here in the historic old Clay County Courthouse. And so we've got a couple of guests with us this morning and got some important stuff to talk about. Mayor Reagan, how are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you doing?
What have you got to fill us in on this morning before we move on to another subject here?
Okay, well, I appreciate the opportunity, as always, Thomas, giving us the opportunity to come up and bring everybody up to date on the happenings of the county government with the county legislative body. We had a county court meeting on April the 3rd and didn't have a lengthy meeting. We had three resolutions that was brought up, and one of them was one that had been tabled the month before, and that was the issue of decreasing the number of school board members from 10 to 5. And it came back up, and it was voted on, and it failed. They had 5 to change it and 4 against it, which that particular resolution had to pass by a two-thirds majority, which would have been 7, and it failed at that time. So that's took off the table now. So until further notice, I guess what you might say. So the commissioners did ask about looking into the possibility of seeing if there was something that they could have a referendum brought up about having it put on a referendum for the people to, you know, to make a decision on that, and we've done some checking into that, and there's nothing on record that says that, you know, that could be done. It has to go through the legislative body, but our county attorney has been checking in on that for us as well, so I know some of the commissioners want to just check on that. Had another resolution that was a budget amendment for the general fund, which is pretty common to have those, and I think that was just a resolution that had some grant funding for the Drug Coalition. Ms. Jamie Coulson heads up for us, and she gets her funding through different aspects as far as state and federal. And as that money comes in, everything has to be amended and put into different the right category that it needs to go into. Also, the commissioners approved the 5-year reappraisal plan for our tax assessments, your land assessments that the tax assessor has got. His policy is that every 5 years that they do a reassessment, and I think this year is a reassessment year, so they changed that some time ago from, I think it used to be 6 years, every 6 years, and they changed it back to 5 years, and so the commissioners voted to do that. And also that the trustee turns over, at the end of tax season, he always turns over the delinquent taxes that he hasn't collected up to the point, turns them over to the clerk, and then he holds them for a period of time, and then they get turned over to the clerk and master. And when they go to the clerk and master, that's whenever the penalties really start growing on them and everything. So
we start putting names in the paper then.
Yeah, I assume. I don't know where they do that anymore or not. I know at one time they used to, but I don't know where they do that anymore or not. But, I mean, they'll be notified. I can tell you that and everything. So,
I think that used to be part of the law. That it had to be posted in the local paper.
And I'm not sure about that, if they still do that or not. But I know that they'll be notified. And
it sounds like it might be a good idea here in the show sometime the next little bit to get the trustee and the tax assessor up here.
It'd be good.
And explain all this to folks and let them know what's going on. And also, I think I know that the trustee's office now, you can go to the state and you can find a little note on the internet where you can actually go and pay your property taxes now online.
You can.
I believe that's up and running.
Yeah.
Now, so that's something new for them.
And they've got, and they've now, you know, for a long time, you know, you couldn't pay with credit cards. I think they got the ability down there now to do you can pay with credit cards and stuff. So they, Charlie and them does a good job down there, and that'd be good to get them up sometime. And
yeah, they hadn't been here in a while.
That way, it can go over the process that taxes. That's how we operate. That's how. I operate my office and all the other offices throughout the county, and as well as the sheriff here. That's how he operates, you know, his office off of, and that's off of taxpayers' dollars and stuff. And that's how county government works. That's how state government and that's how federal government works. It's all off of taxes and stuff. One thing I might point out is, before I forget it, this being Easter weekend, a Good Friday is tomorrow, so county offices will be closed. And I think they told me that your clerk's offices, a lot of times they're in on half a day on Saturday, and I believe they'll be closed on Saturday as well. So I just wanted to throw that out there to everybody, that give them heads up that the county offices will be closed tomorrow and Saturday.
Well, I haven't seen anything. Is the Lions Club, are they doing their Easter egg hunt over in... Has anybody heard anything about that this year? Or?
I'm not sure if they are or not. They usually, I know, I've with heard. The sheriff, they, all of us, they come around to us a lot of times and ask for a contribution to do that. I'm not sure if they've done that.
I know one of the churches had a big Easter egg hunt last weekend up at Donaldson Park.
And yeah.
I know I haven't seen anything at all about it, because I usually, I can sit up on the porch at the house and watch the little youngins head out across the field looking for the eggs, and I hadn't seen anything. I just wondered if you guys had heard anything at all.
Susan did come in my office this morning and asked for a donation, and I'm afraid to say it was for that. I'm not for sure. If I do, I don't want to say anything. It's not. That could be wrong, but we'll find out and see. And if there is, we can't get the word out there for the people and everything.
I believe school will be closed Friday also, I think, this week.
I think it's true.
I think
it's right. I know Overton County is closed today and tomorrow, I think, and I think Clay County is tomorrow. I think they're open today because I've seen the school buses running around, so I'm sure they're open and everything. So also, Thomas, with we verified the budget meetings is fixing to start, and May the 1st will be our next county court meeting, and immediately following our court meeting, the budget committee will meet. So we start going over the first round of budgets and stuff. So.
You want to remind us of the timeline on the budget process? Now, I know we've done this before, but...
Well, I mean, you know, by law, it's supposed to, you're supposed to have your budget in place by July 1, but that's hardly ever happened.
Yeah, very seldom ever happened.
But we have got a schedule now that we go by, and we try our very best to stay with that. And if something happens and we have to alternate that a little bit or whatever, the commissioners has the authority to do that. One of the biggies there is on the school. It takes them a little bit longer because,
right.
You know, getting their appropriation funds and stuff sent in from the state and everything. So it takes a while for them to get that. And so they're one of the last ones that we work with on the budget and everything. So I think we got it all lined up pretty well. And we'll get started May the 1st. And usually it takes a couple of meetings on the county generals and to go over to get it looked at. And then you go into your highway department, your solid waste department, and your school system now.
And well, I guess it's about time to try to get Representative Kiesling back down again to fill us in on what, I guess the legislative session will be over here before long. And so we've got to get him down here, haven't we? Let him fill us in on what's going on down in Nashville.
Yeah, I think they're still in, I'm not for sure exactly. I think some of the committees have done closed out, but as far as them session, I don't know exactly what time they're planning on going out of session this year.
I was there last week with the Sheriff's Association, and they acted like they would be there a couple more weeks anyway.
Yeah, I knew there's quite a few issues. Well, of course, they do a lot of work the last few days. You know what I mean? They kind of hold off and try to get all their bargains made and everything lined up and ready. And you know, I'm wondering, has anything leaked down while you were there on maybe, you know, the different atmosphere of federal grants and those type things, or any areas maybe that you've heard that are going to be special, you know, especially pinpointed, or some that are going to be de-emphasized, I guess that's a good word for it, with the new administration? I haven't heard anything coming down yet.
No, there's there was a little bit of talk of them cutting some funding that helps law enforcement across the nation through ROCIC, which is a regional organized crime information center. They do investigative work for law enforcement agencies across the state, but I think that they're going to try to be able to keep that money there that's been coming down over the years.
Okay, Mayor.
I think the HRA and stuff's got a lot of programs concerned about that, you know, there could possibly be some cuts there, but and CDBG grants, I think that was one of the things that the president had in and took out of his budget or had cut, and we were concerned about that.
Okay, hold that thought just for a second. It's getting time, and I just looked at my clock here, and this time we work a commercial in here. They do kind of insist we pay for this thing, and we really appreciate the merchants here in Clay County.
Absolutely.
Anyone that, you know, advertises for our Clay County Corner, and I know we also have our community calendar thing that are on there every day that the chamber sponsors, that, you know, makes announcements of things going on here, and we're really appreciative of the work that WBFB FM 101.5 does for Clay County here for us, getting the word out to folks about things going on, and it's our sponsors, like the sponsors of this show, that makes this possible. So right now, let's take a little short break and work in some commercials.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria in food from making you ill with four simple steps.
Used to be a walk in the park.
Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rain cycle.
Separate, keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook, make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole!
And chill, refrigerate food promptly.
Yeah.
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road shift to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, we're back here with the Clay County Corner. We're here in the old clerk's office here in Salina, and we enjoy this conversation we have every Thursday morning at 9 o'clock here on 101.5, and we'll remind everyone that in addition to this live broadcast, that this will be rebroadcast this evening at 6 o'clock. And let's see, another piece of business here is a pleasant piece of business, and that is that every Thursday here, you call 931-243-5574 and speak slowly and clearly into our answering machine and get a friend, loved one, or just anyone that you would like to call in a birthday or anniversary for. And then we'll read those names off here in a few minutes. And then toward the end of the show, we'll let someone draw a lucky number out of our sophisticated selection system here and present them with a birthday and anniversary cake, where they go through the procedure of going by the Clay County Chamber, picking up a certificate, and taking it over to the Dairy Queen and picking up one of those delicious cakes. Once again, 243-5574. And let's see, back to the mayor again. Mayor?
Okay. All righty. What I was talking about, we was talking about legislation, I guess, for the, as far as the president's budget and stuff being sitting down, and a couple of things that was brought to our attention that they were looking at, you know, possibility of maybe cutting some funding for some of the programs, the HR programs, and we had asked some of our representatives that represent Senator Corker, Congressman Black, and also Senator Alexander, and They reassured us that they didn't think it, you know, that not that some may be cut back some, but they didn't think, you know, that any of them's going to be done away with. CDBGs was one of the big ones that that we rely on in small rural areas and stuff to do a lot of different things with. And without those, you know, it'd really be hard to do, you know, projects and stuff for us.
It'd be hard to maintain counties like Clay County without grants, wouldn't it?
Oh, it would. I mean, and all grants, and I know the sheriff deals with a lot of grants as well, and of course just about all the grants and stuff that we do, they flow through the my office, but the sheriff, you know, he deals with stuff through his law enforcement department, and it's just hard to, you know, it would be hard for us to come up with funding to do a lot of things, you know, that gets done. And whether it be community livability grants, which is, you know, we got the new AMLETs. We've been very fortunate in the last 5 years, I guess 5-6 years, that we've been able to secure those grants to where that we were able to get three new AMLETs. Two of them we got back in 2009, 2010. And then just recently, we're just now finishing up a grant that we got another new AMLETs and a generator and some equipment that they needed, you know, through the CDBG community livability grants. And it would have been hard for us to have done that because the grant itself was $315,000, and the county had to match that. We had to come up with about $22,000-$23,000. So an ambulance itself will cost you about $130,000-$140,000. So, I mean, it's pretty good. I know it's tax money, it's taxpayers' money and stuff in a roundabout way, yeah, it all. But still, yes, you know, it'd be hard for us to operate without them.
you know, the small rural counties, and it's not just in Tennessee, all over the nation are facing the same problems with the shift in emphasis, you know, that takes place with a new administration. Sometimes the smaller rural areas, they do get left out, and we seem like, you know, we start concentrating on where all the voters live instead of where some of the greatest people live, don't we?
Yeah, and they change the process and the criteria and everything. Seems like it changes every year, and I know that we've talked about three-star program that we have, and I know you're part of that, and a lot of people don't understand that, and I didn't understand it when it first started because I thought, well, it's another one of those gimmicks, you know, that they're coming up with. But without that program in place and all the folks that have really stepped up and volunteered and helped us get that to the point it's at right now, that plays a real big important part when we do apply for grant funding and stuff. And then without that, Department of Economic Community Development, you know, they that's what they want to look at, your benchmarks, and that's what they, you know, they credit you. If you're doing well in those different categories, you know, you stand a better chance of getting some of these grants.
Okay, once again, let's take a little short break. After I read the birthdays and anniversaries, they're still on to me kind of at headquarters about forgetting to read them one day until the last 30 seconds of the show. So it's kind of sparked me to try to remember this, and this would be a great time to do that. We've got quite a few today. We'll begin with an anniversary that's being celebrated by Trina and Doug Holton, and they're celebrating a wedding anniversary. And let's see, we've got Keegan Braxton, who's celebrating a birthday this week, and also Miss Cherry Ann Denton down at Hermitage Springs celebrating a birthday on the 13th. And also we have I just got handed a notice here. We'll get to it here just in a second. Mike Marlowe celebrating a birthday this week. Zach Roberts, friends and family called in to wish him a happy birthday. His birthday was on the 7th, I believe. And let's see, also Miss Katie Burnett, family called in. She's celebrating a birthday. And we'd also like to wish Diane Brown a happy birthday. I believe her birthday is today. Diane works for us over at the Clay County Chamber, so happy birthday to her. And then also a birthday tomorrow that I would like to announce, and that is he doesn't live here anymore. He lives down in Chatsworth, Georgia, and with this celebrant, Mr. Bill Napier, who every birthday that he gets to celebrate now is a major milestone. He has ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, but he is celebrating a birthday tomorrow. One of my former students, he coached here in Salina, Overton County, and his family, quite a few of his family members still live here, and he has continued to fight a brave, brave battle against ALS, and I spoke to him earlier this week, and he, as always, he was in good high spirits, and he's proud to be here for another birthday, and his birthday is tomorrow. So happy birthday, Bill, and I'm sure some of the family members will tell him that we mentioned him today. But we'll be back let me get this announcement in. I just got handed that the Salina Lions Club Easter Egg Hunt is at 1:30 p.m. on Sunday over at the Fairgrounds and Recreation Park. I don't know. We may have to fuss on them a little bit for not getting a lot of advertising out. I don't know. This is not a real professional-looking announcement, but we're glad to make that. All kidding aside, this has been an institution here in Salina for years and years.
Considering the source that brought it to you,
well, yeah,
it looks pretty good.
But it was hand-delivered, and the Lions Club Easter Egg Hunt is at 1:30 p.m., and it's always, like I said, fun to watch those youngins line up down there, and when the whistle blows, and they head out into the field getting those Easter eggs. So looking forward to that on Sunday. But right now, let's take just a little short break, and we'll come back, and we're going to get on to the subject of the public meeting coming up here. I guess that's tonight, isn't it, fellas?
It is.
Okay, we'll be back just in a minute.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The senior care unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to senior care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265. Hey, Clay County, Dairy Queen in Salina and Kix Country want to give away a free ice cream cake. That's right. You can win a delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina for a friend or a loved one having a birthday or anniversary. And all you have to do is call 243-5574. Call 243-5574, speak clearly, leave the name of the person having a birthday or anniversary, and the date of the birthday or anniversary. Please leave your name and number so we can call you back if we have any trouble understanding your message. Then, every Thursday between 9 and 10 a.m. on the Clay County Corner, we'll read all of the birthdays and anniversaries collected that week. We will then, at random, pull out the name that will receive that delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina. That number again is 243-5574. Write it down. 243-5574 to win an ice cream cake from Kix Country and Dairy Queen in Salina.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy. Which is great, because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
That one here. Welcome back, everyone. Once again, we're here with the sheriff and the county mayor. And Mayor, you want to tell us about the meeting coming up tonight?
I can, and then I'm. You
know, and then we'll let
the sheriff chime in on that as well. We had a meeting that we had discussed probably about a month or so ago with TCI that had an issue. Well, we didn't have an issue, but the sheriff had and myself was always trying to look for different options and stuff to maybe help with the situation in a small way. And so anyway, they drew up. We had a group to draw up a little plan, and it went to TCI. And then, of course, that prompts TCI to give us a call and say that, you know, that they'd love to come up and talk to us about it. And so that's what it is. And we run it by the county commission, and they agreed that, yeah, they'd love to, you know, have the meeting, and it's coming up tonight at 6:30. Be down there at the courtroom at the government complex, and we encourage everyone to come out and be with us, and that way they can hear what TCI has to say, their ideas and suggestions maybe, and also understand the situation that the county is in, and I think we all know that it's not getting any better, and I know the sheriff and them does a good job with what they've got to do with it. And but you come to a point in time, we're looking at a jail that was built back in 1963, so you're looking at about a 54-year-old jail. And I called the sheriff last night because I was trying to get some points down as well. And I know that me and him both has been in a lot of meetings and stuff with the state we went and toured a lot of different jails around, but the depreciation ratio on a jail compared to any other public building is 5-1. So if you take that in consideration, the jail, you're looking at a jail down there that's over 200 years old. So, and that's pretty well true, I think. I think the sheriff will agree with me on that, because jails they take a beating, and I mean.
Okay, Sheriff, the situation now, looking at the civil rights side of it, the equal opportunity side of it. Just exactly, you know, where are we with our jail here in Clay County with housing prisoners at this point in time?
Thomas, we're walking on thin ice. That's just being quite honest with our jail issue. You know, we're housing just as of this morning, we've got a female laying in the floor of our hallway at the sheriff's office due to no other county willing to house her. And a lot of times that forces me to let the individuals out either on their own recognizance bond, or sometimes we're faced with a situation where it's a state warrant, a parole violation or something like that, where you just don't have the authority, or I don't have the authority to release that person. And the prisons are not accepting anyone at this point. The local jails, I mean, we've called 19 facilities in one day trying to find a facility to house an inmate. And we currently today have 19 here and 41 inmates housed in other counties. We're running into a situation where it's bad for the county and it's bad for the inmates that's being booked.
So right now we're looking in Clay County at a facility that has the capacity to house at least, 75 people right now? That would probably be, I just threw that number out listening to what you said, that would be a minimum of what we would be looking at right now just to take care of our population.
That's correct. I would not want to even really be discussing a facility no less than 75, really, in my opinion, no less than 100.
That's
because you do have to factor in the growth and our recidivism rate here in Clay County. And what that is it's an inmate that has reoccurring offenses, that's entering back into the justice system. And, you know, we done a quick snippet, which is just pulling the numbers that we got right now. It's not a lot of data pulled, but, you know, our recidivism rate's 92%. And that's very, very high. You know, I think some of the prisons is around 41%. And that's where you want to be. You want to be below 50% if you can of people reoccurring offenses.
Well, you know, when it's that much of repeat offenders, they're really in a county of this size, there's no such thing as a minor offense, is there, as far as the housing situation?
It's not. You know, there's a bond process. There's a process in which you go through. You know, currently right now we're sitting on 1,300 warrants at the sheriff's office. Now, them range from anywhere from game and wildlife violations from people that's come and could have caught a couple extra trout or didn't have a light on at the lake to felony warrants. You know, and then it's people that owes fines, too. And you know, if we had a facility today, just say, for instance, if we had 125 beds, I could go out today and serve about probably 30 warrants just on the warrants that we've got. But we can't serve warrants right now, Thomas, because we don't have anywhere to put them. And that's a bad situation, and that puts the county in a bad situation. It puts me in a bad situation. And I have to say, my employees deal with so much, my correctional officers and dispatchers. You know, we have inmates that go on suicide watch. Or we get a person that's on suicide that we have to transport. Well, now the mental health system is 5 to 6 days behind, and we have to wait and hold that person 5 or 6 days. So they're laying and sleeping in a lobby of our sheriff's office waiting for a bed. And that's just not right. That's not the way the system is designed to work. But we deal with what we have, and our 911 operators and dispatchers, they have to answer all the calls, work with all the inmates, and still deal with them problems there in the lobby. And there's not a lot of confidentiality when you've got somebody laying in the lobby of the sheriff's office.
Well, Sheriff, I know national attention right now is faced upon, and it seems like it, from the federal government down now, is actually looking at this, the opioid problem in the United States. You know, just, I don't know whether you would have a number, even a guesstimate of how much of the problem here in Clay County is based around either the use or the sale of or whatever of the this nationwide opioid problem that our country's facing.
It's just at a local level, Thomas. We truly can't afford the problem we have here in Clay County of the opioid addiction, along with methamphetamine. It's become a problem to where sending two officers out every day buying drugs, and you could buy off two or three people a day. But where do you put them? It's frustrating because I was elected to an office to try to go out and do what's, you know, supposed to be done, and at this point right now our hands are tied. I can't physically right now. I could not have a roundup because the other counties are not accepting. We will occasionally get one inmate moved to another county. We may have one today that transferred to Robertson County. And just to give you an example, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week, we went to Robertson County. That's 15 hours of drive time. That is over $500 in officer's pay and three tanks of fuel. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of going and getting inmates for court.
And, you know, that's this problem, you know, it seems like, you know, our citizenry here in Clay County, you know, I know as citizens we all hear, you know, well, why isn't this mess all cleaned up? Why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we doing that? Everyone knows this is going on. Why can't we stop it? Well, you can't stop it unless you've got a stopper to put in the hole, have you? And the number one stopper right now appears to be until we get facility that can take care of the violators that we have in the county, and that, you know, we're not going to be able to solve this problem, are we?
No, you'll never be able to completely stop drugs. I mean, and that's, I know that. You can work your tail off and try to curb it, but there's no way to put a stop to it. It's the, you know, people locally, there is some manufacturing of methamphetamine going up. The methamphetamine's being shipped in here from Mexico. So,
okay, with that, let's take a little short break once again and work in a couple of commercials here, and we'll be back just in a minute with Sheriff Boone and Mayor Reagan, and we could sit here probably for a half a day or longer and discuss this problem, but you know, it is a problem, and it's a taxpayer problem. It is a problem of the taxpaying citizens, because they all expect Sheriff Boone to just magically take care of all this, round up all the folks, and put them away. But we're going to find a place to, somewhere among all this, where everything can be worked out, where we can at least look at it in a sensible manner. And we'll be back just a minute with Sheriff Boone and Mayor Reagan to continue this discussion.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria in food from making you ill with four simple steps.
You should be a walk in the park.
Clean. Wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rinse cycle.
Separate. Keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook. Make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole!
And chill. Refrigerate food promptly.
Yeah.
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is. A date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. This is one of the deepest discussions we've had in a long time, Mayor. Usually, by this time, you and I have wandered off onto bluegrass music or something or other. But, but no, folks, this is a very, very important time in Clay County, not only for the Sheriff's Department, but for all of our citizenry. For you have to start sometimes rebuilding things at the bottom, and taking care of this problem is probably one of the things that is a real, real high priority right now, because I know it is draining a lot of resources out of the county, and it's making it tough on our Sheriff's Department, and that, of course, makes it tough on all of our citizens. Sheriff, what else, you know, I know we have prisoners that are housed. How many prisoners do we have housed out of Clay County right now?
Currently today, we have 41 inmates housed in other facilities. We sent a message out on Facebook this week, you know, about the meeting, trying to get the word out, trying to get people to come and discuss the issue with us. You know, there may be someone that has an idea out there that we've not thought of. So I encourage anyone to come to this. You know, there was somebody messaged us on Facebook and asked us about, well, why can we not take the old high school and turn it into the jail? And that has been discussed. That was back in 2008. That was discussed with, we were doing a feasibility study for a regional jail, and one of the options was to tear our school down or go in and renovate it and make it a jail. But the cost of renovating those schools has those asbestos in it, and the cost of cleaning that up was going to far exceed the cost of building a new facility. And
then we'd have to build a new education department, wouldn't we?
Currently, just to let the people know that last year in 2016, and this is from January to December, you know, we spent $304,788 housing inmates outside the county. We lost revenue. We lost $322,000 in revenue due to other counties housing Clay County's state inmates. So, you know, there's a total of $620,000 that just, that basically we were out. We spent the 304 and we lost the 322. So, I want the people to know what the problem is. The commissioners and the mayor and myself, you know, a jail costs money. A jail is probably one of the most expensive things that you will ever build in a county, because it has an ongoing cost. It's the operating cost to operate that facility. You've got correctional officers to hire. You've got medical needs that has to be met. You know, we're responsible for all the medical problems that we have. You know, I'm currently negotiating an $18,000 medical bill, and we have it finally negotiated down to $8,000. But a lot of people doesn't understand that once they come into your custody, you're responsible for their medical needs. And it's not like we take them and get, for the instance, the dentist. We don't take and get root canals and do things like that. It's usually an extraction, but it has to meet. We fall under the Constitution, Eighth Amendment. You know, so we have to take care of our inmates.
I know one of the criticisms I know you hear all the time is, you know, they're in today and out tomorrow. And folks, this is the reason why we don't have any place here in the county to basically, other than keep someone overnight. And as Sheriff Boone says, I don't have any place to put them.
Well, Thomas, going to that, you know, it is a problem. It is people who are coming in and coming back out. But in order to fix that, and what other counties has done to try to fix that, it costs money. And you have to pay for these services. But you've got to put services and programs into a new jail. You've got to put educational things. You've got to, which we currently do the GED. But that is a regular thing in a new jail. You have drug programs. And them inmates get credits for attending these programs. They have rehabilitation, trying to learn them a new trade. So you have staff that are trained. Just for instance, Robertson County, one of the facilities, they have teachers that are hired there that teach them inmates. They go to class on a regular basis. They're learning trades. They're learning. And that's how you cut your recidivism down, is trying to get them in society to where they can function.
And we, like I said, the bottom line is, do we have any idea now, you know, the kind of money we're talking about, Mayor?
Well, as far as, and I know the sheriff, myself, and even the commissioners have, you know, have made the statement, we can look at the figures that we're paying out, and we can meet debt payment on a jail. There's no doubt about that. But it's the operational cost is where it's at. And like the sheriff said a moment ago, a jail is probably one of the most expensive projects in a county government, far more from a school or anything like that. I mean, schools are very expensive as well, but jails are very expensive. And not only that, they're 24/7. And you got to have them, you know, people has to be there 24/7, you know, and you can't just close up on the weekend and go home, you know. And, but the expense of the operational cost is where that the commissioners, that's that decision at work that they've been plagued with, trying to figure out, you know, what we can do and what we can come up with, because there's going to have to be some revenue. There's no doubt about that. And it falls right back down to the citizens. And, you know, and I'm a taxpayer as well as you and everybody else. And, we want to get services out of our tax dollars. And but the options that the commissioners, you know, now have to look at is only two options they have is your property tax and a wheel tax increase. And I know that I'm sure tonight that will be brought up as well, you know, but the increase in cost and operational cost is you'll eventually get that debt payment paid off. But the operational of that jail is going to be there. And it's good possibility it's not going to go down. It's like everything else, you know, it's going to increase and everything. And you got to have funding to do that with. You don't want to build a house and can't move into it.
Right. And I know we continually hear the figures, and I know of how much it costs per inmate per year to house them and provide service for them, and then we compare that over to the education. They like to compare that to the education side. Here's what we spend to educate our children. Here's what we spend per person to take care of our criminals. And they always want to throw that up, but they really don't, you know, look at if you're going to reduce the cost, you've got to reduce the criminals. And you reduce the criminals by education, by programs, by getting them back into society where they can become a useful member of society instead of a siphon on society.
And you'll have, you know, there and like the sheriff said, you know, when you build a new facility, there's different aspects that are factored into that, you know, programs and stuff, and that helps. And you'll have a server that will catch on to that, and once they get out and everything, hopefully they won't be back. But you're always going to have those that we call repeat offenders, and that's always a factor that's going to be there. And but we are faced with a situation here that I know that the sheriff, myself, and the commissioners are taking it very seriously. We just got to try to figure out, you know, what's going to be the best thing and the best solution for this for us to do that, and be very conservative while we're trying to do that. But it's going to cost.
Do you have just a ballpark figure of what a building that would be acceptable in our situation would cost the taxpayers of Clay County?
Well, when we first started talking, was looking at a neighborhood around a $5 million project. Now, I don't know. You know, that's been about 7-8 years ago that we first started kicking this, you know, kicking it around. That may not be the right word for it. But when we started discussing it and we had town meetings, we started that in 2012. And we went to different communities out in the county. And that was what we were looking at, you know, the possibility of about 100-bed facility. And I know one time it was talked about 120-bed facility and then down to 75. The sheriff is working with CTAS right now to do a needs assessment for us. And that will give us, you know, somewhat an idea about the future. And that what that is, and I think they do, is a five-year assessment out there based on what it is now and in the past, so they'll maybe can give us an idea about what they think. But that's
right,
just sort of,
right.
You know, some preliminary, you know, projections. And but as far as the operational costs, we're looking at, you know, the sheriff or the jail budget increasing around probably $750,000 to $800,000, and which our jail budget right now runs a little over $400,000, about $460,000 to $470,000. So we've got to come up with that additional fund in there somewhere or another. And hopefully after you get into it, it might level off somewhat.
Yeah.
But beginning and starting up, you got to have, that money's going to have to be there somewhere or another to get started up through the transition period of moving and everything. It's going to cost.
I know we don't want to run into what our neighbors over in Kentucky did with their jail, and where they had a, I guess, a real good jail, capable of handling all their problems, and they looked around and they hadn't budgeted enough money to run the jail. And I think they're still completely closed down over there.
They are, and Thomas, that's been discussed here. You know, I've actually talked to some sheriffs to see if they would house the bulk, if not all of our inmates, and no county will go into a long-term contract with us for inmates. So.
Well, I think, folks, we have just about run to the end of the trail again today.
They're about to shut us off.
Well, no, they haven't threatened that yet, but we do need to. Mayor, if you'll reach in there and pull a number out, we'll give somebody a cake. And let's see who we've got here. Look like we have number one on the list. That was Trina and Doug Holton, who are celebrating the anniversary. So the procedure is go out by the Clay County Chamber and pick up a certificate there, and you can go by and get you a cake. I know we could talk about this for a long time, but as for the meeting tonight, if you're neutral on it, if you're for it, if you're against it, be here. You know, it seems like we have an atmosphere around when we have public meetings anymore around us. I don't know here, but we draw a lot of negative folks that are against things. But, you know, even if you don't have an opinion yet, come back and get some basic facts to form an opinion and decide whether or not, you know, you think Clay County needs this new jail, and let your voice be heard. And Not wait until it gets far way along and say, hey, I don't like this idea. Be a part of it from the beginning. Right, folks?
Yeah, we want to encourage everybody to come out and be with us tonight and everything. It's your opportunity to come out and hear the same thing that TCI has got to talk to the commissioners. And I know the commissioners will welcome anyone to come out as well, because they're the decision makers, and they want the input from the people that they represent in their districts and stuff. So, I mean, come out and be with us, and we'll see what they have to say.
Okay, I guess with that, it is about time that we shut the barn door again here today, and
wish everybody a happy and safe Easter weekend.
Yes, and like I said, make sure you come out to the Easter egg hunt over at the fairgrounds, and that'll get cranked up about 1:30. And once again, Mayor, Sheriff, it's been a pleasure having you folks here with us this morning.
Thank you, Tom.
And like I said, folks, come out to this meeting tonight. It's very important for the future of Clay County. So come and let your voice be heard, and be a part of advancing our county a little bit. So once again, we'll see you again next week at this same time here. And may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And hopefully we'll meet you again here at this same time next week. So right now, good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kix Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.